You are live. Welcome to our new Wednesday edition of Daddy Sports Hour, featuring just me and Gerardo. We're doing fantasy football talks, NFL recap, waiver wire pickups, all that shit.
Look at you, just coming in and taking orders. I like it.
You know, Gerardo's currently in a draft. He might be frozen in a draft. On the screen. But we got this. Really exciting shit here. What are you currently?
This is what Jesse wanted to do his whole life, is talk fantasy football to people that, you know, he doesn't know. He wants to really brag about fantasy football because he thinks he's the shit at fantasy football.
He has the stats to
back it up. Some might say his trade offers are trash. Some might say that he is just a guy that's trying to make his teams better. But is he really that bad? Let's do. We can probably do a deep dive. We'll see what kind of guy Jesse is here.
So on today's
show, I guess we got a special guest. Jesse never wanted to say. He acts like we have some sort of cool guest, like a Mike Florio, like a Field Yates, like Michael Fabiano. But, you know, that's ESPN, that's NFL Networks. Those are their fantasy guys. We got our own Matthew Berry. We got our own guy here. We got our own resident fantasy expert coming through. And listen, you want to take advice from him, trust me. From what I've seen him talk, the way he's built Jesse back up again after I tore him down. He's a real deal. Holyfield.
Yeah. I think I gave you too much information and that kind of beat me down. You beat me that first year in the Alba League.
Yeah.
And then it kind of cratered from there. I just, you know, downhill slope. And now barely making the playoffs.
So what was it that, like, you almost walked away? Now, tell us a little bit about that. Why did you almost walk away from fantasy football? As being the 15-time champion, you almost decided to leave.
Yeah. Two seasons ago?
Yes.
I almost left. I just wasn't having fun with it. I was watching my teams get destroyed every week. Just felt uncertain. Didn't know what I was doing. Felt like the game, the players were passing me by. Like, I didn't know who I was drafting or trading for or picking up anymore. And it can feel like that, honestly, like at any point. You think you know what you know about fantasy football. You think you know what you know about football and who's going to be good, who's going to be bad. But, you know, sometimes it's just a guessing game.
And now, for someone like you that you were able to find your expert, finally I got somebody. By the way, I spent $41 on Stephon Diggs, first player. I feel like I needed to really get in there. Stephon Diggs, and for those people like, you know, never done auction, it's not fun. It's not fun. Jesse has tried to tell me we got to do auction, but I don't have fun doing it.
Whoa, now, hold up on that.
To
add to that auction... The only reason why I say to do the auction keeper league.
I was going to lead you right in there.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead.
Like, now, Jesse, explain to us why you think fantasy, which one of the three major ones, the redraft, the keeper, the dynasty, which one will be the best for auction?
For auction, it's always going to be the keeper. Just because... Yeah. Typically what I've seen is you get to keep two or three players at a certain price, and depending on that price, you know, is, you know, how much money you have to spend on the rest of your team.
Right.
So for example, like one of the leagues that I'm in, it's a $7 increase to keep a player. So if you pick up a player for $1, it only costs $8 of that, like say $200 budget for the next year that you're spending on that draft.
So for being like a Jewish person, they're really stingy on money. It was probably the worst time for them to even play auction, right?
Yeah. I mean, I'm pretty stingy on money in these drafts.
How can I, on ESPN, how can I go like a higher offer instead of $1? Like I'm gonna throw down $60 for Jonathan Taylor.
Honestly, like,
this is so gross. I hate playing with ESPN. By the way, if you're not on Sleeper, what are you doing? Jesse, why? Now, another thing for fantasy football, guys. You have to have a good app.
Yeah.
Jesse, give me your favorite, like, your best fantasy apps. Rank them from best to worst.
Best fantasy app, probably Sleeper, number one. It has everything's fully customizable. There's so many things to do on there. If you're not aware of it, not sure what you're doing on there, just click on some things. I mean, the worst you can do is exit app and then try again.
Play with the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It has so much on there.
I know there's some haters out there that don't like. They're like, oh, this is stupid. I fucking rather be on ESPN. Like, after you get familiar with Sleeper app, I think it's the best. I don't get ESPNs telling me, hey, this so and so is not practicing. Hey, this certain so player is making a splash at training camp or some shit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You look at Sleeper, they're fucking giving you all that shit as opposed to ESPN. Yeah.
Exactly. Sleeper, it's got, you know, a trending call. It's got, yeah, you know, who you should pick up and who's dropped.
Who's dropped because they're either not getting targets, either someone's beating them in targets at camp or something like that, or just in practice. Sorry, we're not at training camp anymore. We're at practices now.
Yeah. It's got, you know, up-to-date news, like sometimes quicker than what I'm getting on Twitter from Adam Schefter.
Yeah, Adam Schefter or my NFL update?
Yeah, yeah.
You know who those guys are on Twitter? That guy? Yeah. He's beaten Adam Schefter.
Wow.
Which I think is insane.
Number two, I mean, I haven't done a Yahoo one since probably like 2005. So I can't really comment on how Yahoo
2005.
Runs.
I've played Yahoo. Was it Yahoo? What was the one we did with Jordan Badley that one time? Was that NFL?
Yeah, it was NFL.
Ugh, that one. Okay, so Yahoo's number two.
I mean, I don't know. A lot.
What'd you say was number two?
A lot of people like Yahoo, so I mean, I'll throw Yahoo up there and maybe eventually test it out. Number three. I'm gonna tell you right now. Number three, even though I shit on it and I hate it, I'll give it to ESPN. Because the NFL app, the NFL fucking fantasy app, is number four, and if I came up with more, it's dead fucking last. I just did a draft on the NFL fantasy app, and it is complete shit. I cannot believe
you cut out on the NFL. What you just is that for like someone like whose league is that?
It's my work league.
Ugh.
Yeah.
What year is it that they're still using the NFL Network app?
They've been running this league and NFL app now for eight seasons. It has history.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I did the.
I'm sorry.
I did the draft tonight. It was whatever. It was weird.
You just feel uncomfortable being there?
I didn't feel uncomfortable. Like I felt like I did pretty good being a 12-team, 4-point passing touchdown PPR league with an IDP. Weird fucking move there. You know that's, what IDP is?
Now explain to people what that is.
It's individual defensive player. It's where you draft a defensive player and they accrue stats for your fantasy team. By tackles, sacks, tackle for losses, fumbles, interceptions, touchdowns. It's weird.
And now, why don't you like that?
I'm just not a firm believer on, you know, drafting individual players.
I know it's silly when people. He won Dream of Fantasy League. I'm like, yeah, man. What you got? What kind of setup is it? Oh, it's this. And then they throw in individual players. I'm like, dude, I'm out. Like, it sounds cool, but then you throw that in, I'm just like, I don't want to worry about a fucking an individual player, you know?
I didn't know about it until about an hour before the draft, so I couldn't really pull out. Pull-out game wasn't strong on that one.
I know. We see you have two kids, so.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
God.
Exactly.
So, and then another thing with fantasy football, like, people, you know, they buy in, they make it a little bit more fun, more interesting, even though even in our own league, we have people that buy in, but yet they still don't try. That's another way of people trying to, like, you know, keep them entertained to play fantasy football, you know?
Exactly. You just need to, like, if you're buying in, like, try. Don't just give up on the season.
Now, last week's episode, you said 20 buck leagues, who cares?
Yeah.
What's the amount that you would think is people should care about? This should be playing. They should be trying. You'd be picking up players. Be trading over here.
I mean, you start to care more when it's like 40, 50 bucks to, you know, 100 more. I don't know. I care about all my leagues, but there's some people out there that's like, it's 50 bucks and they haven't fucking made a move, you know, in weeks. And it's insane that you'll just throw money at it like, you know, you don't care.
I don't understand that either. Super annoying.
Yeah. It's a weird move.
It's a lot of people in our league too like that, where an individual, I don't want to say his name, but there's some individuals in our league that just, you know, hey, it's 40 bucks, fuck it, you know?
Exactly. I mean, there's a couple individuals, you know, they haven't looked at their team in 3 or 4 months.
Don't even know what's going on. That's the crazy part.
Yeah. You bring up to them, hey, I got a trade offer or something like that, and then they're like, ah, fuck it, whatever.
And so it's like, come on, let's go. Like, the league's about to start. Let's hurry it up. Like, so, and then there's those annoying guys that just either they just don't care about the money, and they just, oh, they have too many leagues that they forget. And you get annoyed. That's why I stick with my 3-league minimum every year, 2 leagues sometimes. This year I'm doing 3. This auction one's going to be my last one. What's your max? Where are you capping out? Are you doing the 7, 10-man leagues? Or not 10-man leagues. 10 leagues, 7 leagues, 8 leagues. What's your cap?
I think I'm in 8 leagues this year.
Now, for someone that wants to get into that type of level, like you, a 15-time champ, how do you manage that?
I mean, you just take time out of your day to make sure you, in a way, you kind of keep like a roll call of like what's on your rosters. Like in every league, I know what I have.
Yeah.
I know I have a team that is a Superflex team. For those who don't know what Superflex is, it's where you have your quarterback, your 2 running backs, your 2 wide receivers, a tight end, a flex or 2, and then you have a Superflex. And a Superflex is different from a flex because you can put in another quarterback into your starting roster, or you can put another running back or a wide receiver or tight end or whatever. But you have the capability to run 2 quarterbacks.
And that's the best option to do it, right? Always have a 2 quarterback type way. Exactly. Not like put in a running back, don't put in a wide receiver. It's like if quarterbacks can get you an easy 20 points, 17 points, best way to do it.
Exactly.
Austin Eckler should probably stay away from, right? Seems like he has a hamstring injury that's still lingering.
Yeah, if you're going to bid on him, bid low.
He's at $32.
That's about the farthest I'd go.
I haven't put an offer in at all. Fuck this guy.
Yeah.
I don't even know how much money I got.
If you're trying to really win this auction, you gotta like bid people up just to make them spend money. It's kind of annoying.
That's what I did. Antonio Gibson, my cap was gonna be $46. He got up to $50.
Nice. That's like, whatever, dude. Especially on ESPN, because I think ESPN had him at 42 for his going
rate. My budget right now is $152.
Okay. What players you got?
Just Stephon Diggs.
Oh, I thought you got a second guy.
No, I haven't. Oh, yeah, Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes, Stephon Diggs.
Oh, okay. How much did you pay for Patrick?
$17.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a good buy.
Right now it's at $43, $44.
Yeah, that's a good buy. I mean, you can get by getting some running backs that are like Josh Jacobs, Ronald Jones, some of those lower-tier guys.
Like, I'm looking for those second-tier guys. Looks like I'm going to have just – like, James Robinson, I got outbid. Fuck it. I'm not going to spend that much money for James Robinson. He might have had a good rookie season. Is he going to have a good sophomore season, or is he going to have the sophomore slump, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know he's going to be the bell cow right now, but he could get hurt. We don't know. Carlos Hyde might get some carries here and there. I don't know.
Exactly.
Who knows right now? Right. I don't know. I don't trust Urban Meyer. I don't trust that little snake-eyed. He was supposed to go to USC, but he's not. Joe Mixon, what's your thoughts on Joe Mixon? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of him.
I'm not a big fan of him either.
Just stay away? It's at $22.
That's about where I'd go with him.
I guess he's trying to get this guy.
Jose.
Yeah. DJ Shoestep. That's his fucking guy. So right now the top players are still available: DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Darren Waller, Terry McLaurin, Keenan Allen, Allen Robinson, CeeDee Lamb, George Kittle, Dave Montgomery, Sanders, Miles Sanders, Robert Woods, Chris Carson. I mean, there's still those tier guys. Obviously, the big boys have been drafted.
Yeah.
Like Kamara, Zeke, which I'm surprised people even try to draft.
And you have a good amount of money left too.
Yes, I do. So I'm trying. Last time I spent my money too quick, so this is why I'm trying to save my money a little bit and really splurge myself towards the end.
Yeah, yeah. You definitely want to end the draft with no money.
Yeah, because that's. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, make sure you spend.
But I just don't want to overspend. Like right now, Joe Mixon's at $37, and it's going to go to Jose, DJ Chusett. Oh, no, Milky Way Galaxy.
Oh, damn.
That is Chad. Chad mistake.
Mm.
Remember Chad?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in this league. I got him in here.
Oh, wow.
He was looking for a league on Facebook, so I was like, fuck it, bro. You want to join this league?
All righty.
Oh, DeAndre Hopkins.
Just let me know when you're ready for our guest so I can send him the link.
I'm scared, man. What's his name again? Anthony?
Anthony Lopez.
I'm scared, dude. So, this guy, I hope he realizes that we either might roast him for being a weird college fan. What's his NFL team? Or should I just bring him in and ask him that?
You should bring him in and ask him that.
I mean, any more like basic fantasy football things you want to go over before we bring in our special guest?
Trying to think. Oh, scoring format matters.
Yes.
Get to know your league and your rules. Know if it's a 10-man, if it's 12-man, it depends.
And what's your favorite?
12.
12, just because that way the waiver wire is a little bit more slim pickings.
It's versus slim
having
pickings.
Loaded rosters.
Yeah, exactly. Loaded rosters, it's whatever. Like know your scoring. Like if it's 4 points per passing touchdown or 6 point per passing touchdown.
Very important, you know that.
Know if it's a PPR league, if it's half point PPR league, that's points per reception. You get a point per
if you don't know that
for your receivers and running backs and tight ends. Tight end premium is where tight ends get an extra bonus per catch. Let's see. Super flex. We went over that. Two quarterback leagues. Those are weird. Because you're forced to have two quarterbacks. So it just makes it slim pickings for them quarterbacks. Yeah, just like know your format. Like, you know, Sleeper has a taxi squad.
Which is another awesome thing to have.
Yeah, realize that, like, if you throw a player on this taxi squad, that you can take them off, but you can't put them back on.
Yeah, some leagues are like that, but our league is just, no.
Our league is going to be more of like a rotating extra bench spot, but you can't add older players and throw it on there. So it kind of just makes it a little bit tougher for people who are trying to rotate their older players off that.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to send him the link, though.
All right. Well, bring him in, because this is – I just don't understand this app, man. Like, I wish I can, like, bump my offers up instead of just $1.
You can. Underneath the bid, you can put a total amount.
Where?
You have to type it in.
Oh. I know, but where do I go?
See, Christian did it on it on the phone, but I did it on the computer.
Is it? You think that's what that is? You got to do it on the fucking computer?
Probably. Christian was having troubles, and he fucked us really, really hard. In our auction draft,
my budget right now is 152. I'm like the highest person with money right now.
Yeah, I mean, you can start to bully, but at the same time, people might start to bid you up and make you spend
too much money.
Yeah, it's another tactic.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring in good old Anthony Lopez here.
Yeah.
And our special guest is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Looking like she gets slimmed over the winter. Looking like you want a gold beverage, but also get a little drunk. Hey, why don't you sit down and drink yourself, have yourself a Michelob Ultra on me. No, I'm just kidding. No, I ain't going to pay you shit.
He's paying for everybody's beer.
I want it to be my pick so I can throw up like Darren Waller. What's the most you'll spend on Darren Waller? Right now, his projected price is $33.
Do you know what your scoring format is?
Not great.
Do you know if, like, is it point? Is it PPR?
No.
It's not?
Mm-mm.
I don't know. Then you need to go heavier on the running backs. If it's not PPR.
Trying to see. I'm just going to leave the draft, exit draft. Come on. You won't fucking let me. I can't remember. It wasn't. You see, the reason why I think Patrick Mahomes was so cheap is because he, they're not doing that. They're not. It's like less points per reception or some shit like that.
Weird. That's weird. So it's not PPR.
No, it's not PPR.
Is it 4 point or 6 point?
It's 4 point for touchdown.
So it's really heavy on RBs.
It seems that way. I can't even look at my shit anymore because really, dude, who's throwing up? Chad, are you really gonna throw up a defense right now?
People do that. Yeah. It's fucking annoying, to be honest.
Chad, what are you doing, bud? No one's gonna bid you for this. You can keep the Steelers. I don't care. You just tell the guy that you just gotta click the link and he'll be all right.
Yeah.
Cool. So Jose, he has Harrison Bucker, Christian McCaffrey, and Najee Harris. Fernando has Clyde, Aaron Jones, AJ Brown, Mike Evans. And then Chad has Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, and the Steelers.
I mean, people throw up defenses and kickers in auction drafts. Just, you know, sometimes people get what they want, sometimes they don't. And
Amari Cooper, ooh, I think I might outbid this guy. He's a Team Dim Boys.
Oh, that fucking guy. I remember that guy.
What? Okay, let's go, boy. Let's go. I forgot who he is. Let me see if I can. Oh, damn it, dude. I missed it at the last second. I always try to get the last second, you know?
Oh, to fucking yeah.
Get him, and I hit the button too late. You motherfucker. All right, Jose. Calvin Ridley. All right, let's go there.
Oh, dude, you got to get him. Unless, like, there's RBs that you want more.
RB-wise, Dave Montgomery, Miles Sanders, Chris Carson, DeAndre Swift, Josh Jacobs, Chase Edmonds, Gus Edwards, Kareem Hunt.
You got to get at least three of those guys.
Those three top ones I just said? Montgomery, what, Sanders, and Carson?
Maybe.
Okay, well, I'm going to... Because I get you put up the next player next.
How can you tell if he's joining?
It'll say his name, like so-and-so has joined.
Oh.
And then I gotta pop him up right here. So once he clicks the link and he comes here, he has to set up his name and everything, and then it'll say so-and-so has joined. But we have, how many views do you even got? I got like one person viewing.
I don't know.
I got two people. Hey, shout out to the two people watching us. So Calvin Ridley right now, $43. Is that even worth it? As being the new number one in Atlanta?
If it's not PPR, then fuck no.
And it's sold to DJ Two-Step. All right, I'm putting up. Who should I put up first? Montgomery, Sanders, or DeAndre, or Chris Carson?
Go for... Carson. Put Carson
Chris
up.
Carson. See, Chris Carson's up.
See how much he goes for. How much was it to try to get him? Or how much is his
value? Worth?
Yeah.
I think it was like 23.
Oh, we have some comments in here.
Who? Who is it, Greg?
No, the second take extra. He had a question.
Justin Fields. I'll go Justin Fields. Will Mark Few get fired? Hey, save that for we'll say that. I didn't even know we had a chat going on.
The Mark Few questions. Get the fuck out of here with all those other shit.
We'll answer that Mark Few later. Do the Mariners have a shot at the World Cup? Again, we'll look at that later. They are playing the best baseball they've had in a long time, so congrats to them. But we'll get to that later, you fuck.
Yo, the second take extra. He's got Fields, but I got Trey Lance.
Got Chris Carson for $25. Let's go.
Way to go. Nice fucking job.
Let's go. Where are you going?
I'm still here.
I guess I gotta have the chat up too. The second take extra. I didn't even know the guy was in the chat. Javonte Williams. Wow.
There we go.
Okay, Fernando. You really want to do this?
Javonte Williams?
Now, Justin Fields, I feel like he has a better shot at starting unless – I mean, no, actually, it's about even with who knows if Andy Dalton will play well. And, like, Matt Nagy, he's just an idiot. And he's like, I promise Andy Dalton, he's going to be the starter, so you're going to fucking start.
Yeah. I mean, me personally going to rebuttal and talk about Trey Lance –
Trey Lance has the best shot, honestly, because Jimmy G has never played a full season.
Yeah, that's true. And he has a lot better offensive weapons behind him and in front of him. with his offensive line, he's got one of the best left tackles in the game with Trent Williams.
Yep.
He's got
Big
Kittle.
Boy.
He's got Ayuk. He's got Debo. He's got a fuck ton of running backs behind him.
Yep.
And, I mean, they were in the Super Bowl, what, 2 years ago?
Yes.
So
they were. And Niner fans will never forget when Jimmy overthrew Emmanuel Sanders. So they might want a new fresh quarterback here soon, even though the Niners – I mean, how much did he spend for Jimmy G?
Hmm.
That handsome fuck.
How much did they spend?
Yeah, like how much did he sign free agent or was it a trade?
They traded for him, but then they gave him a contract, I believe.
They did?
I think
so. Oh, no, they did.
Yeah, they gave him a 5-year, $137.5 million contract, 48.7 guaranteed.
Damn.
74.
Oh, wait. I think he's here. Oh, shit. You ready? All right, let's bring him in.
All right.
There he is.
What's up, gentlemen?
The myth, the legend, Jesse's Oracle, as he calls you, to everybody in the fantasy world, at my end, anyways.
Yes.
How are we doing?
I am the Sith Lord.
Is this you guys' first time actually talking to each other?
Yeah.
Like, not chatting it up?
Yeah.
First time, yeah. I didn't even know what he looked like. I just blocked his profile online.
I would too. Look at that's why he has to wear sunglasses and a hat.
Yeah, inside. It's a look.
So Anthony, tell me, man, what makes you like the best like fantasy not guru, just expert, I feel like. Better than Matthew Barry, better than Field Yates, all these other guys that get paid money. Like what makes you stand out better than them? Because to me, I think you're fucking great.
Oh, I appreciate that. Honestly, I think a lot of the stuff that you see online for a lot of the experts, like for Yahoo or for ESPN, I think a lot of that is basic stuff. I think it's very they'll do like eight team, 10 team leagues and things like that. But I learned how to evaluate players in a super, super deep league. So like 14 team with like 20, 25 players on there, and you're forced to like really take it seriously to like learn the schemes, you're forced to learn the depth charts, you're forced to learn all the beat writers and those guys who have all the insight to all the teams and they, you know, the depth charts and the up to the second projections for who's going to start, who's going to not. And then I think I took that and ran with it as my home hobby of being a draft like analyst at home, just like a couch analyst. So like, I love the draft. I haven't missed a draft since 1998. I've watched every round since then. It's been like a super deep passion of mine. And I've kind of used what I've seen from team strategy. A lot of teams really, they do the same stuff over and over again. So it kind of works in cycles. And so you'll see a lot of teams that operate a certain way and they find certain types of players that work for their schemes. And so I kind of just utilize that, that knowledge of being able to like having watched so much football in life and then just apply it to the ability to be able to find players, schemes, and find like the hidden gems. Cause everybody can draft Alvin Kamara, you know, but who's going to draft Myles Gaskin to help them last year win a championship for those two games that you're, you know, he's going to be necessity for that, you know, and that's what happened. That's what happened to me. So it's like things like that, they happen every year, but like, you know, anybody can drop the top heavy, but it, like getting into the really nitty gritty of these low end players or the mid rounds or the late rounds kind of helped me learn to evaluate. And then I just applied it to a bunch of different things like negotiation strategy, like learning people's niches, you know, learning how they operate, learning how they draft, how they talk, how they trade, things like that. And then it just starts coming together. And then I thought it was, can I cuss on here? I don't know. I'm super arrogant. So when I first started, I was like, maybe I'm full of shit. Maybe I'm not that good at this. Right. Because I only really started hardcore fantasy like 4 years ago. And so I was like, Jesus. Okay, well, maybe I'm full of shit. Maybe I'm just in a league that's just full of cupcakes. And then I started in. And then I started to win big. Like a year goes by, like I'm in 3 leagues, then I'm in 10 leagues, then I'm in 25 money leagues. And then I'm in like a bunch of leagues where I'm like, okay, I'm going to keep pushing this to see how far I can make it with these money leagues and how far I can take it. Because, you know, I just met Jesse last year. And so we and him and I had spoken on Facebook and we did the Fantasy Gurus thing. And it was like, okay, well, maybe I can help if I can help this guy and he starts to win from certain things that I'm telling him to do. And I'm like building these strategies out of, maybe it can keep going further higher. And maybe I am pretty good at it. And then I just got real arrogant. I'm like, I am fucking good at this.
No, because like, to tell you the truth, he like needed something. He was down bad. He wasn't like his self again. He was pissed off because I kept on, I beat him. I went to championships like, I think 3 times almost, like 4. Mm-hmm. Out of the leagues we've been together, I'm usually always in there with him in the playoffs, in the championship, in the runner up. And the year before you came in and saved his life pretty much, he was just like, I'm fucking done. Pretty much. He was like, I'm done with fantasy football. I don't ever want to play. It's fucking stupid. I'm like, bro, you cannot stop playing. We're starting this league. We got something going here. We got this trophy. Like, what are you talking about? And then he meets you, and he's like, dude, let's just say, man, I got this Oracle, and he's fucking badass. I'm like, what are you talking about? It's like the Matrix. What do you mean the Oracle? Like, what is that? He's like, he did not want name. He didn't want to give out names. He didn't want to tell you how he found you. But then all of a sudden, he starts doing these weird trades, which were like, he's like, here's the first picks. Give me this pick. I'm like, dude, you're an idiot. Yeah. What are you talking about? Now, after that, I'm realizing, I'm like, this motherfucker played me. He played me like a fucking fiddle. So now I'm like, okay, I see what you did here. I'm like, who taught you all this new way of thinking? He's like, a fucking Oracle. And here you are, just brought this guy a whole new swag. Who would have thought, though?
I think it changes every year. So, and I'm not going to say that there's no luck involved, because obviously you have to get lucky with certain players, certain things that happen. But it's like poker, really. Like, that's what I equate it to. It's like, I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Rounders, but in that movie, the guy's having a conversation with his wife, and he's like, it's the same 12 dudes at that fucking final table at poker every single time. It's not a coincidence. They're not the luckiest dudes in the world. It's because it's a game of skill. It's to be able to read the evaluation of the players, read your league is one of the biggest things. If you can read your league early and you start giving up conversations and you start talking to guys, finding dudes' favorite teams, see what their strengths and weaknesses are, you know, how they draft. You can kind of figure out right away what kind of league you're in. And so when I was talking to Jesse about this just this summer, because we obviously we're still talking every day when it comes to fantasy, it's like
he shows me the messages.
Yeah. So I mean, it's what it is. I mean, it's something that you have to analyze to a deeper level than, well, I'm going to take Kamara and then I'm going to pair with Kyler Murray maybe, and then I'm going to do this. It's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, anybody can do that. But can you trade an Eagle fan, Miles Sanders, and then have him give back to you Goddard and maybe Jalen Hurts at the same time or some shit like that, you know? Like, how are you always pursuing getting your team better every single week? And for me, it's about winning, winning, winning. That's all I give a shit about. I want to win. I want to dominate. I want to destroy people, and it helps me keep my edge and want to do that when I do win or when I do these things and I put these strategies to good use, and then I actually comes out and sees the fruit of the labor. Because anybody can talk shit, but you got to prove it in the long run to be able to do that.
Oh, no, for sure, because this guy, he went from like this like soft-spoken dude in fantasy to like this evil fucking Sith Lord type, like just – absolutely just makes me pass. Like, he gets me so wound up the way he talks now. I'm just like, this is like a whole different guy now. So
this is part of my edge, that because we've been in the league together for the first part of it, and he sees how I talk to people. He sees that, and it's kind of I probably think that that's how he draws it from, because one, you can back it up. If you know what you're, if you know your shit, you can pretty much back up anything that you do throughout the course of the season, because it's not just a draft. I can sit there and have a good draft and be like, that's it. That's all I need to do. And then I fuck it all up because I make one bad trade, not paying attention. And then my whole league is lost. Right. So like, you not only have to draft well on a round to round basis, like you want to win the round every single time, but you have to maintain well as well. You have to stay on the waiver wire. You have to see who's check hurt, that shit. See who's not hurt. You have to buy low. You have to sell high. It's like playing the stock market every week, but you have the ability to take any stock you want in the first part of the draft, right? In a startup, you're like, okay, I get Amazon, I get Google, I get Apple, and then I get a lot of these lower stocks that maybe they'll turn out, maybe they won't, but at least I can know that I can turn those shit stocks into something nice and pretty throughout the season. It's just how you maintain being able to do it from a week to week basis.
And it's really hard to do that. I mean, for those like new people that like think they know what they're doing, but they really don't. You like have to like know where you get the sources, where to. Mm-hmm. For me, I look at depth chart. I'm like, all right, who's the next man up if this guy gets hurt? So like the minute anyone gets hurt, I'm like immediately hitting the waiver wire, trying to get that next person that's going to be stepping up. Like last year, who was it? Julio was always hurt. He wasn't playing, so they Yeah, Russell Gage or even the other guy. I can't even pronounce his last name. What's his name, Jesse?
It's like Omadiah Zacharias.
Yeah. Yeah, he had that one good game. He had that one good game. I went and picked him up, and after that, he just took a shit. You know, it was like Gage, one of those moments,
Gage
you know?
Gage was my guy really late last year because like one of the things I really like paying attention to, some of the analytics are total shit, right? Some of
right.
them, like, I can't believe it. Like, this guy had – you know, he had 130, like Travis, what was it? Travis Fulgham or
yeah, the Eagles? Who's a free agent, Fulgham, by the way.
It's like, okay, so he had this one big game and everybody's like, well, here we go. Like, here's a diamond in the rough. I got him. I bought him hard. And then you could not start him a single game for the rest of the season. So sometimes you have to pay attention to the analytics and why certain things are happening. But Russell Gage, there's an analytic out there that was really, really popular at the end of the day. And I had a feeling they were trading Julio. It's just too much money. Which also goes into it, like trying to figure out what these teams are going to do with their players. But like he had not, after Julio went down for 8 straight games, he was like 9 targets a game. He was catching 5 or 6 passes a game and like 60 yards. And that's like through like an 8 game stretch for Atlanta at that time. And so in that situation, like those types of analytics, those are sweet analytics, especially if you're looking at the end of the season. The Falcons are thinking, oh, wow, this guy was really good in Julio's absence. Maybe we can dump that $16 million that we're paying Julio and move on for him, and we bring in a guy like Kyle Pitts and a guy like Arthur Smith, who is like a really great offensive coordinator for Tennessee. Now we might have some youth and some playability here for Matt Ryan to mess around with for his last couple of years.
So now do you think that he's that Atlanta has used to be that was a high-powered offense? Obviously, Kyle Shanahan left. Can they still bring that back with Arthur Smith, Kyle Pitts, Calvin Ridley, Russell Gage, or are they still missing pieces there?
I think, honestly, I like Mike Davis as a running back, but I fully believe that they should have drafted a running back. I thought there were a lot of good guys that they could have went after. Obviously not in the first round. I don't think Pitts, you can pass up on a guy like that. If he is all that he can be, and he all the hype is real, I really don't think that you can pass up a guy like that at that pick. I had him as my comparison for Darren Waller. He was my 5th best player coming out last year of the draft.
Shit.
So I was like, oh, well, that guy is – I mean, he has all the athleticism, all the ability, all the talent. And so if he fails, he's gonna fail from a lot of people had him in the top 10. I had him in the top 5. So it's like one situation like that. But with Atlanta, I really believe that they should have went hard at a running back either this offseason or drafting a young scat back that can play behind Mike Davis. Because they already released Qadree Ollison, the guy that was behind Mike Davis. I thought he was going to be like the young, like backup, like going on, okay, he's going to be this and he'll probably take off next year, right? But they released him outright and now they're kind of struggling with their situation because they don't really have anybody behind him. And so
Wayne Gallman?
What's that?
They got Wayne Gallman now.
Yeah, I mean, that guy kind of is what it is. Like, he's not even on my radar, to be honest with you.
No, he was just like another guy that would have like a 1 or 2 gig games. After that, he wasn't like a consistent running back.
He reminds me of Devin Booker. Like he was Devin Booker type. He was like, he's not on anybody's list, but he could come in and have like an 80-yard, 1 touchdown with 5 catch game. And you're like, what the fuck just happened? How did that happen? And he's not even on the waiver list. Someone will pick him up, like a bunch of teams will pick him up, and then he'll never do anything like that ever again.
Exactly.
Even if he's like the backup for New York right now, it's kind of like, yeah, but is he really someone you want to put a roster spot on? For me, it was a no, clearly.
So for the situation that's going on in Baltimore, as if you're a Gus Edwards owner, what would you do in that situation? Would you hold on to him till he starts going off? Would you try to sell him now for potentially getting a better player? Or what would you do with that?
in my strategies for that, when something like that happens, like, because I'm a huge, Jesse knows this, him and I are huge Darrell Henderson fans. Like, even before Akers went down, we really liked Henderson. We just did. I liked Henderson from him. Hendo, that's right, yeah. And so it was really fortunate that we had him on several of our teams before Akers went down. And so in these types of situations, when you get the guy that steps up and becomes him, you always want that first big game. Because what happens is his ceiling is only so high when he hasn't played a snap yet, even though he's still the number one guy, right? So he's right. The number one of the depth chart, and he's going to be that way. Even with Le'Veon Bell coming in and, you know, a couple other of these no-name players, it's not going to matter because he's going to be the – he was already successful in that system before J.K. Dobbins really took off. And so in that situation, I think he's going to be a good player, and I would sell high probably after his first – I mean, it might even be Monday night. Like, Vegas hasn't proven that they've gotten any kind of elite defense until they prove it. I mean, if he goes off for two touchdowns and, like, maybe 85 yards and something like that, and he puts up, like, maybe a 25-point game and something like that, that would probably be ideal in that situation to sell high. But a guy that's going to, like, that in that situation, it is a sell-high opportunity for that moment, but he's also an opportunity for him to rush for 1,400 yards in that offense. So you just don't know, you know? So that comes with the risk. And it always – and everything, when people ask me questions, I always say, like, my first answer when I get asked questions by either Jesse or anybody that knows me playing fantasy, what's your situation, what's the scoring look like, and what's the roster look like? So if you can – most people who have Gus Edwards now didn't draft him to start him. They drafted him as a bench guy. Right. And so you're likely to have two or maybe even three running backs before him, which means you have the luxury to be able to move him high for a real long-term piece, like a real legitimate long-term piece if you're playing Dynasty. In redraft, people are way less likely to trade in redraft. But if you have the opportunity to trade him in a sell high redraft, you could probably get someone really good, or even two people in that situation. Granted, after like a big game,
how much would you spend on him right now in an auction league?
That's a tough question because now everybody knows his value now, so they know he's
he just one. Because I am drafting right now. By the way, I am doing it in auction league. Right now, he's up for $12. What was that?
Is that one that Jesse's in right now?
No, no. I asked him if he wants to join this one. This is a $60 auction league.
Okay.
I don't know. All I got right now, I have Stephon Diggs, Patrick Mahomes, Chris Carson, Dave Montgomery, and Darren Waller. This guy?
And how much money do you have left?
Fuck, I don't know. It's $55.
$55, and you have how many players? I didn't hear the lineup.
Oh, Stephon Diggs, Chris Carson, David Montgomery, Waller.
Oh, okay. So for you, a running back in that situation isn't a high necessity. So if someone puts in, like, if Gus Edwards is available, that means probably Hendo and maybe Mike Davis and maybe who's the other one? James Robinson might still be available in that situation. I would pay more for Robinson, and I would pay more for
Darrell Henderson is still available right now.
Yeah, I would pay more for Henderson than I would for Edwards because I think the PPR aspect of that is going to be better for him in that situation.
Even Josh Jacobs still available.
A lot of people are down on Josh Jacobs right now. His ADP is falling, and his projection is falling, but it shouldn't be, to be honest with you, because Kenyon Drake is going to come in and just do basically what Devin Booker and Jalen Richard did last year for them.
Yeah.
He still was one of the top touchdown rushers in the league last year. I mean, John Gruden is all about rushing the football. Rushing in the when you just got the ball and you're on 20, rushing at the 50, rushing, it doesn't matter what situation. He likes to rush the football, and Jacobs is their power back. He's their guy. He's their workhorse.
And so you're telling me right now, if it's third down, the ball is on the four-yard line, the Raiders to score, is going to Josh Jacobs, so he's not putting in Kenyon Drake, right?
If it's third and four, like at the goal line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think Drake is playing that. I think if Drake plays that, Drake is going to play a split back on the slot, and he's going to be a receiver in that situation. He's not going to be a runner. The thing that Gruden likes to do more than anything is, and this is, comes a part of like knowing what kind of scheme they like to do. What Gruden does is he's what's called a yak coach. He likes guys that get yards after the catch. So he's never, like, he rarely targets the end zone in the majority of his red. That's why they've had red zone problems. Because what he does is he targets players 4 years, 4 yards short of the end zone, and he expects them to run in or break a tackle and do that. So if you watch a lot of their playing, because I'm a Raider fan, unfortunately, one of those pathetic ones.
Oh, you're a Raiders fan?
Yeah. So I know. I saw a Bronco jersey over here. I can't believe it. What the fuck?
Yes.
if you watch their games, even against Denver last year, a lot of their games, what happened will be – when they're in the red zone, they throw it to like Jason Witten 3 yards short, and Witten can't get in because he's old and you know he's 45 years old and couldn't do anything. But a lot of the time, when you see a lot of their games, he likes to throw underneath stuff, and Carr is the perfect quarterback for that because they're always about underneath stuff or like running the jet sweep and things like that. They don't
or playing their favorite play, spider two wide banana, right?
Spider two wide banana, yeah.
Nice joke.
So, you know, it's an interesting story about the Raiders and me in fantasy is I used to play a lot of Madden, like a lot of Madden growing up, but not when Madden was online. It was really when Madden was like franchise mode, right? And yeah. So I spent like I can't even tell you countless amount of hours forever. And what I would do would be I would play franchise mode to do the trading and to build up my team because the Raiders are so bad every single year. They never had a good team, so I always had to spend all of franchise mode being like just building up and doing that. It's always one of my favorite things. So when I discovered fantasy, I was getting really tired of watching the Raiders do so horribly without, and I couldn't do anything about it. I had no control over as a football fan. But in fantasy, you are the GM. And so I was like, I'm going to get really, really fucking good at this because my own team, I can't root for to watch win. And you guys have both seen your teams win Super Bowls in the last 10, 12 years. So it's like, I don't get that feeling. The last time I saw them even close, they got blown out by John Gruden, the guy who's starting to lead the Raiders to a Super Bowl now, which is never going to happen. But yeah, I mean, that's part of the reason I was like, man, I have ultimate control when I'm in, you know, so I'm going to try to get really good at this. So, because if I do, it's going to be a lot more fun, and I'm going to have a lot more joy out of football than watching the Raiders play every year.
Right. No, I get it. I feel bad for Raiders fan. You know, Jesse was a Raiders fan, and he literally left to be an Eagles fan.
Oh man,
that's true.
He was raised a fucking Raiders fan. When I met him, he was a Raiders fan, and he left that team. What was that? What year was that, Jesse? Like 2010, 2011?
Yeah.
Around then, he's like, I'm done with the Raiders. Even his username.
2010 and 2011 would be a weird time to jump, though, because that was when they were actually halfway decent when Cable and Hugh Jackson were running the shows in 10 and 11. So, like, in 2011, that's when they scored the 59 points against your team.
That was a terrible game. That was a terrible game. Yeah. That was terrible. Yeah, when he put up, like, and that's another team that Jesse, like, so let's just say two times Jesse's teams have put up 50 burgers on my team. The Eagles put up a 50 burger, like, 4 years ago, and then the Raiders did, like, in 2010. So,
yeah, that was a long time ago, man.
I think I left 2013 when the Eagles were 4-12.
Was that Chip Kelly era, right?
Yes, the kickoff of Chip Kelly era.
So that was Nick Foles throwing 7 touchdowns against the Raiders?
Yep. To Riley Cooper's?
Yep. Man. I had him
in the remember those days. But see, that's just part and parcel to what it is, man. I got so tired of watching the Raiders lose like that. I was like, God damn, man. There's got to be something else out there for me. Because it was taking the joy out of football for me. And that's my number one thing. I love football.
I love football
my whole life, man. I love football. I love watching it. I love experiencing it. And so, like, one of the things that really took me off, and I've been a huge criticizer of Raider football in the last couple of years on Twitter and everything. Like, my own fan base hates me because of it.
I see it all the time.
Yeah, it's brutal, man. They don't like me. But it's like, look, the worst thing that ever happened to a Raider fan literally happened 2 years ago when the Niners played the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the worst possible outcome that could ever possibly happen. And we handed those teams losses and victories and, like, with no opposition in this situation. And so as a Raider fan, you look at that, and it should really, really, really infuriate you to have to live through that era. And knowing that your team is never going to be good under John Gruden, they're never going to be a Super Bowl contender, they can't get it right, they miss on every draft pick. And so it's like, what do we do? You know, what do we do in that situation? So I've been vocal about it.
Who did they draft this year?
They drafted Alex Leatherwood in the first round, and then Trayvon Merrick actually in the second round, who I like a lot. That was actually my top defensive player in a shallow defensive draft. I really, really, really like Trayvon Merrick. And that's a good pick, but the problem with what the Raiders are doing now, and I know we're going off on tangents here, but you can have, you know,
impact
the fantasy, but the problem with what the Raiders are doing is that a lot of people don't want to understand that the Raiders are now, the rebuild was 2018 and 2019, right? They handed out hundreds of millions of dollars of contracts in 2019, Trent Brown, Antonio Brown, and Tyrell Williams, LaMarcus Joyner, all these guys that were supposed to come in and be like, yeah, these are the guys that we're going to like build on. And then they had three first round picks, a second rounder, multiple third rounders. So it's like, okay, this was the rebuild, right? This was the John Gruden rebuild. and it failed because now what they're doing is Trent Brown was only there 2 years, the biggest parts of his contract. So what do? They use 2020 or 2021 to draft the right tackle to replace him after he was only there for 2 years after they gave him the highest paid contract in the history of football.
Craziest thing ever.
For an offensive lineman. And so things like that. So you draft Henry Ruggs. You miss on Ruggs because you guys got Judy, CeeDee Lamb, and Jefferson were all gone after that, right? So we gift wrap, you know, these great receivers to other players when we take a guy who they don't even utilize properly. You bring in Yannick Ngakoue this year when you drafted Farrell in 2019. You bring in Trayvon Merrick as a second rounder when you drafted Jonathan Abram in 2019 as a first rounder. You bring in Kenyon Drake and pay him $11 million when you drafted Josh Jacobs in the first round in 2019. It's like all this shit is what they're doing to shove.
And you forgot the best person you guys have on your roster in Nathan Peterman.
Oh, yes, the Peterman. Oh, God.
How is he in the league? I have no idea, bro.
It's the utter and blatant lack of self-awareness for John Gruden that how he's running the team is what's really hard to stomach as a Raider fan. It's like, okay, they just released Tanner Muse, third-round pick from 2020, never played a snap for the team. They drafted Lynn Bowden last year in the third round, which were my two when I did my analysis of that draft, I said those were the two worst picks of the Raiders the team. Neither one of them played a single snap for the team before being traded or cut. It's shit like that. God. And then Raider Twitter gets on there and is like, you know what? Everybody misses on third-rounders. Yeah, well, you know the Redskins? They got fucking Scary Terry and Antonio Gibson both in the third round. So you guys can go fuck yourselves, right?
Because no, it's like that.
It's not as easy as just to watch guys that are so good come out of nowhere and be like, yeah, we're wasting picks on fucking safeties that are trying to turn into linebackers when we don't have starting linebackers to start with. I don't want to, like, shit like that just bothers me, man.
No, it makes sense. Like, every single time we see a player get drafted high, me and Jesse go back or gets drafted high or gets a late round pick, we go back and look who was drafted before that. You know, like, we looked at Jake Butt, I think.
Second rounder.
Yeah, and then you look at who was drafted after him. Fucking George Kittle was drafted in that same fucking year. I couldn't imagine the Broncos, like, getting him instead of Jake Butt.
Yeah,
even though
go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, even though knowing that he's coming in with an ACL injury, it looks like that just kind of lingered in and never got over it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, he was hurt that first year or he's drafted effort. I don't remember which one it was, but he was a great player in college. He went to Michigan, didn't he?
Yeah, Michigan, and that's why a lot of people don't play in the bowl games because he tore his ACL in the bowl game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people were mad at Christian McCaffrey when he was like, "Yeah, I'm not going to play in the bowl game, even though you know I missed out on the Heisman. I should have won it the year before. I wasn't going to win it this year. So it was like, why would I play when I can do this and just sit it out and be like,
exactly.
That's probably the better idea, considering you don't want to come in to where you can really actually make money.
Like Micah Parsons.
Like yeah.
Look at him; he's tearing it up preseason with the Cowboys. I mean, I don't want to talk about the Cowboys. Sorry, Jesse, but yeah, I mean, he might be a problem for you guys. I don't know.
I think Jesse needs to worry about Washington. I think they're one of the best teams in football this year.
Who's the best defense in fantasy football? You think this year?
I think the Rams are the best defense in fantasy football.
No shit.
I still think so.
Even though they lost their DC.
I could go in there and call plays for Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey and probably be successful in that situation. I think Aaron Donald is the greatest defensive interior player we've ever seen in the history of the game.
That's true.
And with his situation, that guy just breathes sacks. If he's not getting them, someone else is. And it's like, I think the defense is crisp. And I don't think that and Stafford is actually one of our guys. Like, he was my top quarterback. For the mid rounders for me and Jesse this year, later in the draft to get him, because I just think he's going to be really, really, really good. And he's going to be a lot better than Goff, and he's not going to be a turnover machine like Goff was. So I think the defense is going to be even better in that regard.
So Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp, those numbers are going to go up this year?
Kupp is the big one. Kupp is my guy. That's the guy I've gotten. I've tried to get the Stafford to Kupp stack in every startup this year. Because one, it's like you can get.
I just drafted Kupp tonight.
He's still available right now in my auction.
Get him.
What's the most you'll spend on him?
You only have $55.
Now I have 40. No, I already put up Darrell Henderson. Got him for $8.
$8.
For $8.
Tasty.
Yeah, $8 I got him for. I'm double checking here.
You might be able to see this.
I got $47 right now.
So since you already have Henderson, I wouldn't put much more money into Kupp, because if you could get him for $5 or $6 in that regard, because a wide receiver is such a flooded position that you can
really
get guys everywhere for super cheap. But because I don't like to stack skill positions unless it's like the guys that are like top five of their position. Like, it's okay to stack Travis Hill or Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. But generally, like, you don't want to stack guys like Henderson or Kupp or maybe like Montgomery and Allen Robinson. Because skill positions shouldn't be stacked together. It should be stacked with a quarterback and that skill position player. Generally, that's kind of a rule of thumb in that situation. So you see a lot of people that are like, well, I'm going to get Gus Edwards, I'm going to get Mark Andrews, and then I'm going to get the Ravens defense. It's like, well, that's not good, because every single week you're starting three guys.
That's true. See, Cooper Kupp right now is at $10. Someone just threw him up there.
Yeah, that's a lot. But I mean, it's also like I think the guy is going to be fantastic this year.
I put him in at $11. Damn it! Yeah. Someone's already. Oh,
I think that's the most I would go, because you don't want to hemorrhage more money in this situation.
I'm on Shark Tank. I'm out.
Yeah, you really want to like spread your team around. You want to, you don't want to be stacked up on the same.
At least Anthony here explains it better than you do, Jesse.
Okay.
Well, the way he explains it makes sense. So now I'm like, what do you want for Courtland Sutton?
You got to give him a little credit, though. I mean, like from the way we've had conversations from the very first time we started talking about this. I mean, I put it out there for him when he first wrote on that the post when he was like, hey, like, is anybody really know strategy and stuff like that? I wrote him. I was like, look, I'm probably the best fantasy football player you'll ever meet in this situation. And it's probably best. So you just need to start soaking up a lot of the stuff, and I can help you team build. And basically from that moment on, he's been nothing but, hey, what about this? And how did he do this? And how did he do this? And obviously it's worked out, because we're in the same league together in one of our other, one of our leagues that we got in. And he clearly has the second best team. It was like I was drafting against myself, and I didn't like that. I was a little nervous.
He just injected him with like a little bit of steroids, like Peyton Manning. He was at the end of his career. All he did was like a little bit of steroids, so he can just make it through that season. And that's what you did to Jesse.
I made Jesse's forehead just a little bit bigger, like Peyton Manning.
Exactly. That's what happened. His ego got bigger.
I mean, look, if it produces results, I think that we can lean on that and be like, look, what we're doing and what I'm doing, like on a yearly basis for fantasy football, it works. Like the way I trade, the way I look at the waiver wire, the way I talk to people, the way I try to build teams and build strategies, I mean, it's working. So like I feel like if I'm making money off this and I'm helping people like Jesse make money, and people are talking to me about it and want to bring me on to a podcast to talk about fantasy, something is working. So I'll just keep on keeping on with that and try to figure out.
Well, shit, man. I was telling Jesse before you got on, I was like, you know, ESPN, they got their fucking fantasy, guys, and NFL Network, they got their fantasy guys, and they talk their fantasy shit. I'm like, we got our own fantasy expert, and that's Anthony. So
I'm happy to be here, man. I'm happy. This is the first time I've ever done anything like this. So
you really are. Like, this is the kind of energy I wish Jesse brought every time we did a podcast. You were just, you're so energetic. You just talk. You have all the facts and everything. Jesse's just like, hey, man, so fantasy, yeah, we're going to do this.
I'm just sorry, super laid back, man. I'm just super
laid back. You really are. Anthony coming in here, dude, he was, like, ready. He's like he practiced or something. But he's just a natural, I swear. I just got Courtland Sutton for $6.
Oh, see, that's a good pickup. Sutton's one of my guys. I like him. Even coming off the ACL, I like him a lot.
Oh, I know. Jesse has been trying to get him for me, and I might trade him to you now.
Yeah, right?
out there telling me you need to, like, you know, can't have two skill positions at the same skills because I have Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. So I'm like, maybe I got to get rid of Courtland.
Yeah, so a lot of the things like that in that situation.
And because I'm a Broncos fan too, so that's another reason why.
Well, a lot of it is how deep the leagues are. So when I talked to Jesse last year, and I told him this for real, like straight up, I was like, if you have the knowledge that you have now, you shouldn't be playing in lower leagues like that because you're not challenging yourself. And especially if it's like $20 and like you're going to make like 180 or 150 bucks on that and you're guaranteed to win because you have all this strategy that's so much higher than the players you're playing with, you want to challenge yourself. That's how I got better. Like I got better because I ran in this one league. And it was the first time I had really invested heavily into a money league. And I was like, okay, this is $150 buy-in. It's a big deal. I'm going to see how good I could probably be at this. And I spent hours. Like, I was like, every week, I was like, well, you know, I was up at 3 a.m. On the waiver wire day. I was like, well, what is this guy going to do? I was trying to learn, you know, how people trade. I was trying to do these things. And after that league, after I left that league, I was like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this a lot because that was a lot of fun. And I came in as a rookie and went all the way to the championship game and ended up losing because they played week 17 championship, which is.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was like, OK, well, I'm not doing that ever again. I was relying on players in week 17. I remember this very distinctly because I only lost by like 14 points. So I had Chris Godwin, the last game he had that really before he broke out the next year. And I had Samaje Perine.
From the Rams.
Yeah, I was playing dude.
Wow.
I was playing the Lions defense even a couple of years ago. Like I was like running on fumes in that league. I was like, okay, I'm not gonna be able to play any of these guys. I won't be able to play. Todd Gurley was my guy that year. I made a trade deadline trade for a win now move, and he ended up just tearing it up in the playoffs for me. And then but because it was week 17 championship game, he didn't play. He played like 10, he got like 9 points for me. And so it was like really bad in that regard. But ever since I got out of that league, I was like, man, this is like where it's at. Like, I like doing this. I like deeper leagues. I like big leagues like this because there's so much flexibility to be able to get better.
I'm honestly just too nervous to do that. Like, I want to do something like that, but I'm just like, I feel too nervous spending that much money.
Yeah.
You know, even though I've been doing it fucking since, what, 2007 is when I really started on NFL Network. And from there, I just, you know, gone off. I've won, I think, 4 times. And two of them have been against Jesse.
How many leagues are you in?
Right now?
Yeah.
I'm in 25 money leagues.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Do you have two phones? Like, how do you keep track of that?
Okay, so I get this question a lot. Like, how do you maintain it? So after the draft, it's pretty standard. Because what happens is once you spend all summer knowing your leagues that you're in and your startups, and you've already drafted and stuff, you have a lot of time to be able to learn who's who and what the strengths and weaknesses of certain teams are. And so after the draft, which will take the most opportunity in one sitting, they'll take the most time for you to pay attention to those leagues. But after that's done, everybody's going to target the same free agent waiver wire guys. Well, generally they're going to, you know, for the same consensus where all the information is pretty stagnant out there. It's not going to be like you're breaking new ground unless you have some really deep inside information. You know, in situations like that. And so after you already drafted, you're going to maintain the league pretty much the same. You're going to maintain each team, you know, the accordance to how your strategy is for that year. Like if I have Matt Stafford and Cooper Kupp in all my leagues and I've tried to get them in all my startups that year, if I have them in 25 leagues, you know, I'm not going to move those guys because I believe in them this year.
But yeah.
If Cooper Kupp gets hurt and he's out for the year, or Stafford is playing like shit, and I think, okay, well, I can't start this guy anymore, like 6 weeks in the season, it's going to be like that in all of my leagues. So I'm going to try to stick to the best strategy I can where I have a core guys of like 7, 8, 9 guys that I really, really like in the season, and I'm going to target those guys all in every single one of those drafts. And so when I do that, it's going to happen consistently. And so if like with the Gus Edwards thing, like in all 25 leagues, if Gus Edwards is now available to be able to get and, you know, he's a buy or a sell high candidate after, you know, after Dobbins goes down, it's going to be the same like that in every single league. All the players worth their salt is going to be like, what can I sell this guy or buy this guy for? And so it's hard initially, and it does take up a lot of time because I'm like uber meticulous about it. I like to look at my teams on a daily basis, on like basically like an hourly basis. If I get any kind of notification or update, I'm looking at who I can buy, who I can sell, who I can look at to move. How can I better my team on a daily or a daily basis?
That's, and I just like, I feel like when I have right now, my max is 3. That's all I can do. I feel like if I try to do a fourth or a fifth league, my head would just explode. Because I'd be like,
go ahead.
I was gonna say, when someone gets hurt or something, like, you know, you get a notification, so and so went down. I'm like, shit, there goes that guy. I gotta go find a replacement. But then I don't even have him in my league. I'm like, which league do I have him in? I gotta start scrambling to make sure I get to that right league so I can pick up the backup before somebody else does. You know, that's where my problem is with that. So you know, kudos to you if you can manage 25 leagues, man.
Yeah, it's a lot, and I, you know, my wife put a limit on me this year, so I was like, okay, well, because we're expecting we have another baby on the way. We got another baby boy coming in October, and so she's like, look, you have to limit your money leagues. Because it takes up a lot of time. You're going to be home with the baby a lot, and you got your other 2-year-old crazy heathen running around, and so you're going to have to, your attention's going to be needed, and not to, Darren Waller if he gets hurt or something like that. But, you know,
right.
I'm going to split the time because baby needs to eat, but also Darren Waller needs to be healthy. So
you're in the Pacific time or are you Eastern?
I'm in the West Coast.
Oh, okay. Cool. So I'm like, now I'm like, damn, you have kids? We all have kids, I guess. Shit, man.
Yeah.
Sorry if it's late. I don't know what if you have like bedtime out there.
No, I appreciate this. It's I prepared for this. I told my wife, you know, it's gonna be on here. So yeah, it's no big deal. I'm with you guys.
Hell yeah.
Congratulations too.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
No, I know.
Right?
What's that?
Is it the nameless one still?
No. His we did give him a name. Henceforth, he will be known as Mateo Vicente.
Nice. Oh shit! Look at this guy. So, do you speak Spanish then?
I'm not fluent, no. So my I'm half and half, and my dad never spoke it to us.
Okay.
And that's kind of like that with a lot of people in my family. A lot of the cousins that are my generation don't speak Spanish. It was kind of like hit a wall of assimilation as we expanded our family more and we brought in other people that don't speak Spanish.
Gotcha. Okay. I just, the Lopez, I just thought maybe you did speak Spanish or something.
No, I want to. It's one of the things that I've always wanted to learn. And honestly, I've just kind of been lazy about it. And I want to because I love the Hispanic and Mexican culture. And so it's always been something I really wanted to do. It's just been like, you know, what's the best way to do it when I'm in my 30s now and I have kids and I have responsibilities and duties? It's like you have to, one, pay for that side amenity, and two, you have to find the time to be able to do it. So it's definitely something that's on the list, but, you know, it just kind of is what it is.
That's cool, man. Well, I know we all have to. I mean, do you work, right? You work? You got a job?
Yeah, so I'm in property management, but a lot of my job comes from being at home as well. I have other endeavors that I'm able to do. And so it allows me the time to be able to do things like that. And my wife has a career as she's a therapist. And so she's like a social clinician and a therapist. So she's like got her shit together. And when we met, so I was like, okay, well, I'm a little bit more fluid in what I want to do and things like that. And so our partnership worked really well.
That's good. No, that's good. I mean, I know that Jesse and me, we got to get up tomorrow. So fortunately, this is the first episode, so thanks for coming on.
Yeah, I appreciate you having me, man. Thanks, guys, for having me. Thank you.
And if you want to come back next week, just let Jesse know. We'll bring you back and get more fantasy. Hopefully, you know, tomorrow's the first day of football, guys. I hope you're all excited.
That's right.
It's about time. Can I get predictions? Tomorrow's game.
I think the Bucks are going to win it 31-20.
Holy shit! Okay, Jesse.
Yeah. I'm going to go Bucks as well, but I got 31-28.
Oh, close.
Yeah.
Now with Dak coming back, is he going to be good? Do you think he's going to struggle a little bit or what?
I'll say this, man. I haven't drafted Dak in any league that I did this year. So,
ooh.
I mean, there are players. It's not that he's necessarily on my no-no list, but there are guys that I just don't draft, and it happens every year for some reason. Like, and it's a natural underlying subconscious thing. I don't consciously not draft these guys. It just happens that way. So one of them was him. The other one is Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Just guys.
I traded him away.
Yeah,
traded him away.
I just don't. It's just in my mind space where I'm like, for something that's holding me back. I see the guys. I see their ADPs. And fortunately, it's worked out. Like, Jesse and I talked about this too. Like, with Akers and a guy that we just didn't justify his ADP, so we just couldn't take him in the second, in the early third round, when there are so many other good guys available at that time. And Etienne was another one. People were drafting Etienne in, like, the top four and top three. I'm like, James Robinson is not a ghost. That dude is actually a badass football player.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure. And Jesse over here is, like, was telling me, like, yo, Etienne is not, you know, don't sleep on James Robinson still.
Yeah.
And Etienne, you know, going down, I'm like, hopefully no one, you know, dropped Robinson or, like, traded him away. Because now if you did, you look like a fool.
Yeah, in my auction, I got James Robinson for $4. That was before Etienne went down.
Etienne went down.
I was like, I don't know why people are just, like, not, like. The other one was that you got really, really shallow was Deebo Samuel. A lot of people were off the train, man. And I like Ayuk. Ayuk's one of my favorite guys in the entire league this year. But Samuel, like, you just can't just take that guy off and throw him off into the side. You're getting him in the 9th, 10th, and 11th rounds in these late-round dynasties. It's like, dude, that guy is awesome when he's healthy.
Oh, yeah.
And so that offense is so set up for those guys to have so much gap yardage and break those tackles and score.
And at least this time, like, if Jimmy G does go down, you don't have to worry about Nick Mullins going in or C.J. Beathard.
Yeah, right.
You have Trey Lance that could be an electric factor there. So that's something I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I think Jimmy G is going to start all the whole season this year, barring injury.
If he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, barring injury, I think he's going to be in there, because I think it would be hard, even though the Niners have precedent with this. They don't have precedent without injury, but in that situation, like, if they're like 10-3 or something like that, or 10-4, like, how do you make a switch? You know what I mean? Like,
no, yeah, you can't do that.
He's not hurt, so.
Exactly. So, again, I mean, I'm excited. Football is finally here. We love football. That's really all I talk about. That's why we're doing two podcasts, because it's so much football, because we cover college as well, because we also love watching college football. And that's another thing we can talk about, because I have some questions about that. I heard you're an Oregon fan and a USC fan, so I'm a little I'm a little like, what the fuck? So we'll get into that some another time. So
definitely, man. I appreciate you guys having me on. This was a lot of fun for me.
We appreciate you coming on here.
I know, dude. You really made the show, because at first it was kind of a struggle trying to get my new setup. I just moved. I was trying to set this whole thing up. I'm still not even set up. This is not going to be my background, this window. And everything will be back to normal here soon. But, yeah, man, thanks for coming on.
I'll give you guys one look at it. Oh, that's Jesus. My baby right there.
Yes.
There it is.
That's the
holy shit.
What's that trophy?
This is the Wilford Winkenbach right there.
Winkenbach. Wait, we need a funny-ass name like that for our trophy.
Well, Wilford Winkenbach was generally considered the founder of the fantasy football. And no so shit. I was like, what would be like a good memorial name? And this is my most recent.
God damn it. We need something cool like that.
Yeah, so I've won this twice in the 3 years. I'm defending champ with this one. This is my main money league there. It's super important, and I want to crush everybody, including my wife.
Yeah, his wife is in his league.
My wife's in it, and she's got a hell of a team.
That is so funny.
She talks to me about things, and she tries to see what I think about stuff. And I'm like, you know, okay, well, here's this. You know, she snuck up on me on how good she is now. So I was like,
that's crazy. That is so funny. I love it. Well, guys,
I really appreciate you having me on, and I'll be down for any time. We could talk fantasy all week, every day. It doesn't matter. I love it. So
hell yeah. All right, man. Appreciate it. Catch you guys later.
All right, thanks,
guys.
You.
Have a good one.
Later,
man.